Awesome. Good morning. Our ranks are thinning out. We have an extra table now. That's normal, though. We said from the beginning, this isn't just a conference that you come to and listen and then leave, but it's training modules. And so we typically, overseas, if we'll do this, you might start with, 150 pastors. And by the time you're done with module four, you're down to 63, or something like that. And so we get it. It is a lot of work, a lot demanded of you. And we're doing a year and a half program in a year. And so that's a difference as well. So today, and I always like you guys to know just kind of where we're going, what we're doing. So shorter teaching time today. Woo-hoo, right? But a longer Q&A, because by the time we're done today, we'll be halfway finished. By the time we're done, we're going to give you some projects for growth. And part of those projects is going to be you have to do 5 counseling sessions. And you have 3 months to do it. So it's not like by next February you have to have it done. But 5 sessions, and we'll define what that looks like and stuff. And so I say that on the front side so you can kind of start formulating some questions now, right, as you're thinking through what will that look like and what are my responsibilities and how do I do it and what about this situation. We want to leave some time at the end just to do that, just to kind of work through those kinds of things. And so so we'll have a longer, potentially longer Q&A, or it might be short. Who knows? So for March, I am... I don't know if any of the other pastors are going. I'm going to the Shepherd's Conference in California, and so that actually it's during the second Saturday of the month. And so, what's that? Yeah, you're welcome to come. Men only, but I mean, in this day and age, you wear the right hat, and you could. Good. Not sure that would be the right environment to do that in, but,
Is there any reason why we couldn't possibly change that Saturday?
So that's what I was going to ask. Is there? Yeah. Yeah. So we checked with MacArthur and said, can you change the Saturday? He said no. He didn't feel like you guys were that priority, but, so we talked. Joe talked to Marian Baptist Association, and they said we could do it the first Saturday of the month or the third one. And so it's either the first, I think it is, or the 15th of March.
I'm in New York the first week.
The 15th, I think, is the spring break time frame. Is that right, Josh?
The 18th. The 15th is the beginning of spring break. The 3rd is the end of spring break.
So the 3rd is the... 4th to the 18th is spring break.
No, 18th is the end of spring break. 4th is not. No, there's no spring break. What am I saying?
Those are our two choices.
Oh, that's the first Saturday. Sorry. Okay. So the 4th is the first Saturday. The 18th is the third Saturday. March.
March. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there anything, listen, no matter what date we set, somebody can't make it. Like, I get that. But is there anything going on community-wise or big church-wise that's going to make one more difficult than the other? Yeah, is there a weekend for sure just doesn't work for you?
I can't. I'll be in New York the 4th.
You can't do the 4th. Anybody else can't do the 4th? How about the 18th? Okay. Right, yeah. That's my thinking was the spring break side might mess things up. So, unfortunately, Don. yeah. So the 4th then. So we'll do it then on the first Saturday in March rather than the second Saturday in March. So cool. Well, and really grateful for the Marian Baptist Association, right? They're just like, yeah, whatever thing. So yeah, very good, very good. So halfway today. Pretty neat, huh? And also today, we'll do evaluations, just beyond me. So you guys scared off your other teachers with your last evaluations. So I've done all of module two. Working on module three, as far as counseling topics, right? You know, module three is, module two is how do you do biblical counseling? Module three is how do you do it better? And so there's certain topics that you guys have talked about that I think will be good to work on. So I've been working through those things. Now, marriage will be for sure on there. There's one as well that I'd love to do. It's on mediation, or we could say conflict resolution. Big mediation thing, but had to really think through a lot of stuff in mediation recently. And I think what I wrote is like, wow, that's actually exactly how I would want to present it to a group. And so I thought about you guys being a good group to do that, because it really deals with kind of the idea of peacemaking and genuine confession of sin, genuine repentance, right? Genuine forgiveness, how to actually get to a clean slate, right? And put your past in its proper place and move forward. So I think that's a really important thing in our day where that's just not happening, right? And so so we'll work through that. And then there's other issues that we'll probably do that relate to addiction or depression, how to counsel those specific things. But if there's something that you know for sure that, man, we really need to hear this in our community or in our church, then let me know, because we've really got 3 months to do all that. So I'll front load a lot of it that I know for sure we need to cover, but then maybe the module three, the third one, maybe some of those other topics that we can work through. Is there anything that comes to mind immediately when I say that? Yeah, Amy. Yeah, no, that's great. In fact, Josh showed me a book the other day that I ordered that day, and then I got it in yesterday. Nice. What's the name of that, Josh?
Friends, oh no, Unsaved Christian, the Unsaved Christian, Reaching Cultural Christianity with the Gospel.
Yeah. So on Monday nights, I'm teaching a short series, I guess we call it, on how to reach Christians with the gospel. Right? Because we have a church culture that speaks a lot of Christianese, that loves Christianity but doesn't really know Christ, right? My pastor used to say they know the plan of salvation but they don't know the man of salvation. And so how do we reach those? So Amy, that'd be a good one to go through. Yeah. Joe.
They've been talking a lot about that book and also that whole thing on Moody. A week or so, call them cultural Christians.
Cultural Christians, yeah. Yeah.
It was published by Moody, that's right.
Hmm. Yeah, and somebody Doug.
So we're having issues in our church regarding divorce. Not that we promote divorce at all.
Mm-hmm.
But people are coming to us too late, you know, everything is, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if you're gonna put that in marriage or, you know, because it's a topic that we're struggling with and it takes a long time for our session to work through it.
Right, right. Yeah, we will cover that, because I know part of our marriage by design seminar, which I'll pull most of my material from, deals with, and I always tell couples, I say, listen, it's not over until one of you get remarried. Right? It's not over until one of you get remarried. Even if you're divorced, it's not over until one of you get remarried, because we have testimony here that, you know, of that happening. So, so we'll do that. Yeah, Josh.
I don't know if this is, but I'm just thinking of people who have been hurt by the church or gone through things with the church and are struggling or want to be part of a church but are struggling and even coming back to a church.
Yeah.
That something that counseling
could do? It is, especially in module four. So in module four is how do you make biblical counseling kind of the DNA of your church, right? If we took the word counseling out and we said, how do you make soul care a part of the discipleship process of the local church? I the other day I was at the sheriff's department as I say I'm a sheriff's department chaplain. I've never actually done anything. So I got the card, right? And maybe get out of a ticket or two if I need to. But but I got the card. So anyway, so we had this meeting among the chaplains the other day, and there's just four of us. Three of them, you would know their churches, no doubt. So when I said my name, they said, oh, you're from that church that counsels people. I thought, oh, that's an interesting way to, that's our reputation, you know, is that we counsel people. And they, and then one of the guys said, yeah, I could never do that. It was a pastor. Yeah. And then the other guy, and I use the term nuthetic, and he said, and he was in his, he's got his master's in Christian counseling, and said, yeah, I'm more integrative. But really, he said, I do practice nuthetic counseling. And I'm thinking, you don't even know the word nuthetic. It's not, but anyway, it was interesting. But they were, they recognized just by name that that's who we are as a church. And it very much is. And so I had to do a little video clip. And I said on there is that, like, we recognize that there's people in our community, including law enforcement officers, that are going to be suffering. We just want to make sure they don't have to suffer alone. Like, we want to come alongside of that. Well, the same is true among Christians that have really been hurt by the church, right? There's a lot of people that have been really hurt by the church and don't want anything to do with it. And so where's a good, safe place for them to land? So creating that culture within the church is really important. So we will hit that in Module 4. Yeah. Yeah, Amy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So for me personally, I'll say finish your counseling there first and then come to us. And the reason I tell them, I said, because we're going to be given completely different views of what the problem is and how to solve it. So, and it's not unkind or anything else, but I just say we're just vastly different in what we do. I didn't invite
maybe
them.
Maybe you could reach out to them when you get ready to have the next one.
Yeah, yeah. I told them, I said, you know, we take seriously training local pastors to do their own counseling. Because I told them, I said, what ends up happening is you guys send people to our church or to us for counseling, and they join our church. And the reason is because they're being shepherded there. They're being cared for, even though they don't attend our church. But they're being shepherded. And a lot of times as we're graduating people, they'll say, you know more about me than my pastor does, than anybody in my church does. I don't think it's safe to go back there. And so they come. And it's like, but we love it. But we don't want to be that church. So we'd rather just train those pastors, let them shepherd their own people. That's our passion there. So, good. Any other?
I think the way you're saying, I think a lot of Christian people, they're expected to be Christian, which they should be trusting in God, but they're trusting man. They go to these counselors to just feel good.
Yeah.
But their problem is, who hurt you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without saying you're putting your trust in man.
Yeah.
I love.
I'll give an example. This is not a Christian. My brother-in-law, his sister committed suicide. Because they say that she was mentally, that now she's in a better place. I said, so if she was a good person, like, out of her life, would you say that she's in a better place? No.
Yeah. So I like where, I think it's in Proverbs where it says, a man's heart is like channels of water. And then it says, and a man of wisdom draws it out. And I think it's a real skill. A man's heart is like channels of water And it says, but a man of wisdom draws it out. So I think there's a tendency in all of us to see a sin, name the sin, right? Immediately rebuke the sin, and rather than drawing out. So it's oftentimes in biblical counseling, that's what happens. We talked about that old McDonald kind of counseling, right? Here is sin, there is sin, everywhere is sin, sin, and you just nail it, you know? Well, it's better though if you can point them to the scriptures, right? And so that drawing out, hey, read this or go through here. What was going on in Joseph's life? What do you think was happening in his mind as his brothers sold him? You know, how can you compare your own? Oh yeah, I can see myself here. Well, I could tell them you're like this. Or you can draw it out. And so the projects for growth are really good tools to draw those things out. That's why it's so important to prepare well, right? And that's one of the, Janky will probably tell you that too. That's one of the hardest things, right? Initially counseling is you know the problem, you know the solution, right? You know exactly what needs to be done. And so you tell them and they don't do it. And you think, that's ridiculous. It makes so much sense, right? You're hurting. Like, man, every time I do this, it just hurts, you know? And you go, this is pretty easy. You know, stop doing that, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
For the hurting, that you do want to find out more instead of assuming you know everything and trying to give them an answer.
Yeah.
You just want to listen and ask more questions.
Right. 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 Yeah. I was working with a couple the other day and I said, by the way, do you realize we haven't actually started marriage counseling yet? We're like 6 weeks in. And they went, oh yeah. I said, well, this week we're going to start marriage counseling. And all I'm doing is I'm saying on our website, we have Marriage by Design. Here's a handbook. Watch part one, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it next week. All right? But I said, we haven't started marriage counseling. And yet their marriage is so much better. I said, there's some counselors that actually in their marriage counseling will never meet with the couple together. Right? Maybe Sherry would meet with the lady and I would meet with the guy and then they're good because their hearts change. They consider others as more important than themselves, right? They're slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. That helps your marriage a lot, right? So we never actually even meet with the couple together. Now I said, I don't do that, but I mean, there are times when you do that. So yeah, but that's the key, right? You still have a verse for every problem, right? We all do. We have a verse for every problem, but it's better for God to draw that out rather than you just telling them, because they're going to argue with you. But let the Spirit do His work through His Word, and you'll see amazing things happen. Yeah, Rebecca and then Randy, and I realize we're doing our Q&A at the end, so... Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, you mentioned conflict resolution. So I assume you're going to put in confrontation.
Yes.
In front of that, because something I never really approached.
Yeah. Properly. Right, right. And in Peacemaking for Families, they have a whole chapter on confrontation. I tell everybody it's my favorite chapter in the whole thing. Because it's not what you think. Like, usually confrontations, you line up all your, you know, ducks in a row, and make sure all you've got your facts, and then you just kind of let them have it in a nice way, right? And yeah, that's not confrontation. Yeah. So it has a lot more to do with listening and asking questions and everything like that. So anyhow. All right. So I would love to hear how your pamphlets were beneficial to you this month. So what pamphlet were you in this month that maybe you utilized for somebody else or for yourself, or just gained some good wisdom to be able to share with others? Was there a pamphlet that stuck out to you?
Food, controlling of the food. I got in touch with my sister and my aunt, who we all struggle with that, and we have a group chat. So we did, 1 week we did the introduction of the little pamphlet. It's such a small book, but you can read it, but I just wanted to be able to digest each little section.
Yeah.
So each week we're reading a little section, and then we're just telling each other and then encouraging each other during the week. And
oh, nice.
So I started a little,
cool,
little counseling session for all three of us.
There you go. Yeah. Good. What else?
Yes, I bought them copies. Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
I think the one on
the Oh, yeah.
Because my father died.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this is really, really good.
Yeah.
Right on the hill. You know, with him not knowing. The last time my father came to the house, he didn't know me. And that killed him.
Yeah.
But you have to realize they don't remember.
Right.
You know, that's part of it. It's just they remember way, way back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My brother went over there and he said, well, let's look here. Because he thought that was his bed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But they lose it. You know, they
forget yeah.
how to eat, they forget how to walk, they forget
right.
how to swallow, and that's what eventually.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I have not read that yet.
But.
Yeah. Right, right, right. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah Beth. Mom. Small booklets that pack a lot of punch, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, Wendy, did you have your hand up? Yeah. Yeah.
And she trusts me, but anyway, she just said it's
interesting. She said she read the little pamphlet. It's interesting God allows punishment for some sin. I've never thought that before. She said that's a different way to think about it.
Mm.
So, anyway.
Wow.
It's been exciting on both ends to see her open and realizing these things. And the pamphlet was very useful.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Anybody else? Yeah, Amy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Right.
But this person handles it, you know, perceives it and feels it differently. And so we don't know how other people are feeling pain. Chronic pain. I'm not talking about pain like a grief type pain, but more the chronic pain.
Right.
And then you don't always see it in somebody either,
right,
because they don't have a cast on or a crutches or whatever.
Right. Right. Right.
Again, it's the kind of compassion kind of thing that
happens. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then I remember in the pamphlet that I could talk about, then you could kind of get a, and this is my own paraphrase, but when you have chronic pain and people know you have chronic pain, then you can almost use it as an excuse to be grumpy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's, so, yeah. That's,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I say, if you guys have not been over to our to the Life Center, our office space, we've got a huge library of books and pamphlets that are so helpful, and this is a very small cross section of the material we have. Obviously, we can't bring everything over here, but you know, these cover most of the topics, you know. But then if you want something more, you know, then we actually have books, or we have more pamphlets. You know, there might be four or five different pamphlets on, you know, self-harm, you know, cutting or suicide or grief or whatever. Like we you know, these are just one, but we've got a plethora of resources, and they're available for you, right? I mean, they just have the little envelopes in them, and, you know, you can buy them, great, and if you can't, then we just give it to you. It's our ministry. That's what we want to do. We want to equip the people in our community to do the work of ministry. Right? That's our goal. That's our desire to do that. Yeah, Rebecca. Yeah. Right, yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you guys want to do that, just shoot me a text or email or whatever, or call me, and I'm usually there. I'm not always there, but I'm usually there. And but if you just stop in, just know that we typically keep the door locked, and so just call or whatever. My office is right there, so I can usually see you when you're coming in. So if I don't want to answer, then... I was going to say, I don't do that. I think, well, actually, I have done that before, so I can't really say that. All right. Well, let's do a quick review here. We're in module 2, the end of module 2 today. And so module 1 is kind of what is biblical counseling, right? It was a lot of theory. Module 2, now we've gotten real practical now, right? And so we said there's 7 key elements to what we do. And so this is the process of biblical counseling. Now, everybody has kind of their own thing as far as key elements are concerned. Some have 4. Love, Know, Speak, Do is Paul David Tripp and Instruments book. I think the ACBC has 6. But they all kind of overlap usually. But for OIC, these are our 7, and we'll do 7 here in a few minutes. But let's just kind of talk about these key elements. And so what's key element number 1? Oh, good. Build the relationship, right? So we want to build a relationship. Why is this important? Why is it important? Yeah. Yeah, it's so important to trust. I mean, you want to know the person, right? I mean, you're building into their life. They're not an appointment. Okay, so build the relationship. When do you do this? Which do you do this on the first one, second one, third one? Like, when do you do this? All the time. Always building the relationship. And I know sometimes as people sit in and they're watching me counsel, I think they're probably thinking, man, what's he doing? He's talking football. Yeah, we are. We're talking football. We're just, you know, talking about family. We're talking about how was your week? You know, what did you preach on this week? Or how was Sunday school? Or, you know, how do you like the weather? I mean, it's just building the relationship. It's not a waste of time. I know for so many of us, let's just get into it. Slow down. Build the relationship. To me, I probably go too far on that, right? What's key element number 2? Get the facts. Okay, how do we get these facts? Ask questions. What else? What's that?
Waterboarding.
That's a different type of therapy. Yeah, Amy. Yeah, so yeah, filling out the paperwork. We call it a personal data inventory. But you have copies of that paperwork, and you can give it to somebody, or you can say, hey, listen, there's just some things I need to fill out. Obviously, your name is Joe, you know, whatever. But then as you start asking questions, you'll be amazed at how helpful these things are in your counseling and being able to counsel well. Get the facts. Okay, when do you do this? First session, second session, third session? Yes, all the time. And there's always new information, too. Okay, what's key element number 3? Generate biblical hope. Why is this important?
Not only, what are they there for?
If there's no hope, right? We've got to generate, and not just hope, right? Biblical hope, right? Not just saying, oh, everything is going to be okay. Maybe not. You know, don't worry, you know, if you've trained them right, then they'll come back. Maybe not. Doesn't always happen. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, without biblical hope, you're just kind of going in circles, right? You're just putting out fires is what you're doing, okay? Good. What's key element number 4? Define the problem. Okay. And we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but what they think is a problem is not actually the problem. Why are we so successful at marriage counseling, even if you never have the couple meet together? Because marriage is the fruit of the problem, right? Not the root problem. Yeah, marriage problem, right? Yeah, marriage, right? Marriage problems. Yeah, a bad marriage is a fruit issue, not a root issue, right? The root issue is typically has to do with selfishness, right? One word, pride, right? That's where it gets down to. That's the root, and so we've got to define the problem. We've got to see what the root is. What do you want? I do what I do because I want what I want. So what do they want? What do they want so bad? They're willing to sin in order to get it, or they're willing to sin because they didn't get it. That's what it comes down to. Okay? Key element number five. Teach the truth. All right. Now, for a lot of you guys, it's like, oh, this is my thing now, right? Because I'm a teacher. I want to teach. I want to demonstrate. This is so much fun. This is the discipleship part of it, right? It's teaching. It's training. It's understanding. The hard part in this, again, and you just have to do it, right, is you just have to learn. When is too much, right? Let me tell you, you want some really good advice? When the counseling session is done, you pray and you stand up and head to the door. Otherwise, if you're like, they'll be in there for another hour. Oh, by the way, I was going to ask you about this. Or how's such and such? If you stay seated, somebody told me that a long time ago, and I thought, wow, that works so well. And so you pray, you stand up, and you head to the door, and you just look. They know it's time to go, right? Because otherwise, you can be teaching the truth for the next 2 or 3 hours, okay? Which means they don't get anything, right? Yeah, and to teach the truth, you have to prepare well. Okay, we'll talk about that. Key element number six, provide some accountability. What is that? Homework or projects for growth. We're not allowed to say homework, remember? projects for growth. Honestly, this is the best part of our counseling right here. Right? We want to think that it's our teaching. We want to think it's our ability to build relationships. Providing some accountability gets them into God's word. It allows the Holy Spirit to do his work through his word. It allows them to sit underneath good, godly, biblical teaching under the authority of that week in and week out. It brings them to the point of where, really, if you wanted to summarize, provide some accountability, you could say, teach the spiritual disciplines. That's what projects for growth are, aren't they? Got them praying, got them reading and learning and growing. You got them in church, right? I mean, it's just spiritual disciplines is all it is. Yeah, Rebecca. Right. Yeah, that's the importance. That's our part in that. Yeah, it's so important for us not to think. Listen, these pamphlets are fantastic. They're not inspired. They're not infallible, right? They're not authoritative. Les and I were talking the other night. I remember somebody asked the Heath Lambert was doing a Q&A, and maybe we've said this in here. And somebody asked him, he said, if the scriptures are sufficient, why do you use all these pamphlets? And I thought, oh, that's a good question, Heath. How are you going to answer that? I loved his answer. He said, the scriptures are sufficient, but I'm not. I thought, oh, that's right. That's so good. So these guys in writing on these specific topics are really, really helpful to help you to kind of hone in on some of the root issues that are going on. So, yeah, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, it's part of building the relationship, too. Yeah, what you do have to be careful of and is, yeah, and so for me, there's not enough hours in a day to do that, right? And so my goal is always, I wish we had a whiteboard here. But my goal is always to, the way I draw it out, I draw a river and I'll say, okay, this is the river of discipleship, right? And so it's going this way. Well, you know, when you're and then on the bottom there's like an eddy, right? And so if you've ever been whitewater rafting, you know, the ideally you just kind of go down the middle of the river and but your guide will say, hey, listen, you know, up here you'll see, you know, Devil's Falls or whatever, and if you fall off here or the boat capsizes, then point your feet downstream and then just paddle, right, backwards, and then there's an eddy over there. And go into the eddy, and so you go into the eddy, and we get your boat, you know, righted again. We make sure you got all your gear. What did we do wrong? Everybody's got paddles, and then we get back out into the river. Okay, the eddy, and I tell people that's our counseling ministry. Okay, right? It's an opportunity. You're in the river, so you're not. It's a river of discipleship, so you're not counseling unbelievers. Right now, some people come into the river, right into the eddy. Other people come into the river and they get into the normal discipleship process of a local church, right? So I say this is our counseling ministry, is the eddy. We want you here long enough so that we can get everything together, not to stay in counseling forever, but that you go into the normal discipleship process of your local church. And every church has it, right? So if, is it wrong then to go play tennis? No, absolutely not. Just know you're going to be limited to being able to do that. So ideally for me is I get them in a good small group, right? Make sure they're in Sunday school. Make sure there's some people around. Make sure they have a ministry to serve in. Because that's just a normal discipleship of a local church. So nothing wrong with that. Just know that it might limit yourself long term if that's, you know, the idea is like, oh, okay, well, you know, you know, I like playing tennis. They like playing. So we'll play tennis. Well, next thing you know, you're playing four times a week and you got four different people. And then, you know, the people that you've been playing with for a long time, hey, I don't have any time anymore because I'm playing over here. Just be careful, you know, that you kind of keep some of that separate if it's more formal in there. So, but the accountability side, the homework side, the projects for growth, whatever you want to call them, honestly, it's the best part of it. It gets them under authority. It gets them in their Bibles. What if they don't do it? Give it again. How many times do you do that?
One more time.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'll do a lot of times. Is I'll do it with them.
Well, they know ahead of time that's part of the requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we're very straightforward at the beginning. We said, you know, these are the requirements. Teachable, honest, do your homework, be in church. And then we talk about the homework and what it looks like. And I mean, I spend a long time really talking about what's required of them. Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll say, so if we won't agree with this, would you still like me to counsel you? And if they say yes, then as far as I'm concerned, they're going to do their part. If they don't, it depends, right? So sometimes they'll come in, they'll say, I didn't understand it. Okay, let's do it together then. And so then we'll use the rest of that time, and then we'll just work through their projects together. No problem. But I always, does that make sense? I'll say, then now it's my job to make sure to give them something that they can do to set them up to succeed, right? Now, if they come in the next week and they still haven't done it, what do you do? Potentially, you do it again with them, okay? But recognize, though, that they're only getting an hour in God's Word rather than 7 hours, right? So what do you think is the excuse that most people give for why they don't do their homework? Yeah, I'm just so busy. So here's what now listen, you guys can make fun of me if you want to. This works. In building the relationship, you know, we're talking about the Bucks game or a Lightning game. We're talking about fishing or whatever. So did you see the Bucks game this weekend? Yeah, man, it was kind of a wasted game, but I really liked what I saw here. Oh, yeah, yeah, I like this and that. And we're talking through that. And, man, I had to miss national championship, though, Monday night. It was a blowout. Georgia beat them by whatever. And you know what I've realized now? They've watched 2 games, 6 hours. Okay. But I don't have time. Okay? And so I'll just keep asking, you know, as we're talking about relationship stuff, and I'll say, do you realize that you've spent X amount of hours? And then I say, and this might be a guilt tripping, I don't know, but I'm just saying what I say. This is what I tell them. I say, I did your homework. Right? My marriage is okay, but I did your homework. Which tells me that I'm more concerned with your marriage than you're concerned for your marriage. And just know that if I'm more concerned for your marriage than you are for your marriage, this isn't going to work really well. Most of the time, they're like, yeah, we got it. Right? But if they don't at that point, I say, okay, listen. Actually, usually at that point, I'll say, so here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to schedule you for next week. When you're done with your homework, call me. And then I'll schedule you at that point. And then sometimes I'll say, in fact, at Sunday at church, then you can just tell me. Because probably they're not in church. And so if they're not there, then I know, well, I'm not counseling them this week. So, and I know that might seem harsh. It's not. It's accountability is what it is, right? I love the question Jesus asked, right? He said, do you want to get well? Well, then pick up your pallet and walk. Everybody wants to get well. Very few want to pick up their pallet and walk. Okay? Does that make sense? So you're really kind of holding their feet to the fire. But again, you want to be compassionate about this because this is brand new. They are where they are because they haven't had the spiritual disciplines. Right? So don't go hardcore, you know, early on. Know how to respond to each person.
And then you want to leave the door open, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll tell Josh I said something to someone. He's like, oh, you're so bold. How could you say that? You know, if you have a smile on your face, you can say a lot of things, you know, that people will see. Sherry always says that in counseling. She's like, I cannot believe you asked that or said that. They're in counseling. They expect it, you know. So, yeah, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Really?
Huh.
And then, wow. Wrote the wrong one. That's good. That's good. I've got a funny story about that one day, I'll tell you. All right, so these are our six, right? But then there's a seventh. Do you want to take a break before we go there? Yeah, let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll hit number 7.